We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
This podcast episode is brought to you by Coors Light. These days, everything is go, go, go. It's nonstop hustle all the time. Work, friends, family expect you to be on 24/7. Well, sometimes you just need to reach for a Coors Light because it's made to chill. Coors Light is cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged. It's as crisp and refreshing as the Colorado Rockies. It is literally made to chill. Coors Light is the one I choose when I need to unwind. So when you want to hit reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light in the new look delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
Hey everybody, what's up? This is Curtis Patrick from the Dynasty Command Center podcast. And before we hit episode 34, which is going to be packed with college football goodness, it's a Devy-centric episode, y'all. Let's pause for a word from That's Good Sports.
Hello, I'm Brandon Perna, host of That's Good Sports, a 10-minute-ish daily NFL comedy podcast. Have you ever wished for a crappy version of The Daily Show, but only about the NFL? Then, first and foremost, I implore you to dream much bigger. Secondly, I would recommend subscribing to That's Good Sports. Every weekday, I will be giving you NFL news, telling questionable jokes, and swearing just enough so you won't ever be able to listen with your kids in the room or car. I don't ask for a lot, but if you don't subscribe on iTunes, my wife said she will leave me. Thanks, and I look forward to putting my voice in your ear holes.
Hello and welcome to another edition of the Dynasty Command Center podcast, home of the biggest edge in Dynasty and Devy fantasy football. My name is Travis May and I am the Devy coordinator at RotoViz, and I'm joined by Curtis Patrick, the Dynasty coordinator at RotoViz. And like Curtis said at the very beginning of the show, we are going to be talking some college football, some future studs of the NFL type conversation, and we're going to actually have a live Devy draft mock here and go through the first round, the first 12 picks in a Devy draft. And if you're unfamiliar with Devy, that's where you can actually roster college players on your team and watch them develop throughout college. And then when they hit the pros, you automatically get to put them on your dynasty roster. It's one of the most fun formats of fantasy football in existence. I still have an old Juju Smith-Schuster share that I'm enjoying thoroughly, that I've had since like 2015 or something like that. It's a blast. So if you're unfamiliar with Devy, I think you'll enjoy it because there's tons of good info. You'll learn about some of the top players in college football. But if you are in Devy leagues, I think the board's been shifting. So I'm interested to see where Curtis is going to go with some of his picks. But I think to decide the draft order, Curtis, you have a special coin that you're going to toss if I am remembering correctly here.
Yeah, man, I got on my trusty man's coin. And my man's coin, I bought this from Mr. Manzanelli on Twitter. And, you know, I'm going to make you call it, man. You can either get paid or get laid Do you want to get paid or get those laid? You got to call it in the air,
those are the
man.
Two options. I have to call paid or laid. It's not heads or tails?
No, paid or laid.
Okay. All right. So let me get back.
I'm going
to
assume your wife's not listening to this podcast. So if you want to get paid, it's fine, man. You can say that. But on the off chance she does answer, you got to keep that in mind. So you want to get paid or get laid?
Okay. I think I'll get in less trouble if I yell paid out rather than the other. Because my wife is on, she is in the other room. So okay. We'll see what I call in the air, though. Let's just give it a whirl.
Okay. This is awesome podcast. So I'm getting ready to flip the coin. Okay. Here we go. Call it in the air.
Paid.
Oh, you did get paid. So do you want the first pick or
paid.
The second pick? You did get paid.
You know what?
The first pick or the second pick?
I will defer because I get the ball in the second half.
Okay. I like it.
That's not at all how this works, but I'm taking second pick. So,
man, yeah. If you want to give me the first pick, I'm gonna take it. Let's just get straight into it, man. And I have made a change atop my Devy rankings, and just for you did a good job of describing the Devy format. But this is not just 2020 prospects. These are 2020, 2021, and even further out. Typically, what I will do in my own rankings is I'm going to bump guys who are available a little sooner up the board because I'm going to start getting some points from them and get that NFL information from them a little bit sooner. Now, there's obviously a point where a player's talent level and, certain production metrics that he might hit or, hints about his athleticism might come forward, just from team workouts that we have an idea of where he might test. And so then he'll get bumped up even if he's not going to be available for an extra year. But I just want to preface that because while this is not necessarily, if every player was available in 2020, this is not the player that I would choose. But because he will be available to me next year, my 101 in this Devy draft, it's now Jonathan Taylor. And Jonathan Taylor has somehow, Travis, he's increased his per touch efficiency. This is I don't understand. He just gets so much volume and he's averaging over 7 yards a carry. And then they have finally unleashed the beast. Jonathan Taylor is getting receiving game work. He has 3 receiving touchdowns already this year. He's going to cruise past anything he's ever done in his career from a receiving standpoint so far this season. I think he's obviously on the very short list of Heisman favorites, really seems to be coming into his own. He is going to just obliterate the combine next year. We all know that. And I think he's as sure of a thing to be drafted in the first round as any of these other backs. And it is going to be a deep class at the running back position, we think. But Jonathan Taylor is my 101. What say you?
Whew. Yeah, man. I actually just talked about Jonathan Taylor on my Devy Weekly series just because I don't always talk about, the no-brainer type top options in that column, but I just had to. After just dropping another 200 yards in a big-time game this week in a dominating performance against Michigan. I mean, in just 3 quarters, he dropped 200 yards. It's just absurd what he does consistently week after week. He's already inside the top 50 all time in college career rushing yards, and he's only 3 games into his 3rd season. It's just absurd. He could finish with the most rushing yards in college football history, especially if he chooses to come back after this year, which that's not going to happen. But I mean, he's just back to back to back, game after game, absolutely dominating. He's played 30 college games and he's rushed for at least 100 yards 25 times out of 30 opportunities. So kind of absurd. He definitely has to be in the conversation for the first overall pick. But for me in the second slot, this makes my decision a little bit easier. I am going to go with DeAndre Swift for Georgia. Whereas, we know how athletic Jonathan Taylor can be. He has definitive, clear high school testing numbers. I mean, he ran like a 4.42. DeAndre Swift did not really, log an official 40. The right type of recruiting events to count towards his recruiting profile in high school. So we don't really know how fast he is. I think he is pretty quick. I think he does have solid athleticism. He puts that on display every week for Georgia. He doesn't have the elite production profile just due to the fact that Georgia likes to kind of have a two- or three-headed monster like they have in recent years. But looking back, even to his freshman year, when he was sharing carries with Sony Michel and Nick Chubb, who they've done okay for themselves, he actually had more catches than either of them. He was actually the leading receiver in that backfield with, even though it doesn't sound like a lot, 17 catches for Georgia that season was decent backfield market share. And I think he just brings a complete skill set, more so than I think Jonathan Taylor has proven to do in a large sample at catching the ball. So I think he has adequate size. He's going to have adequate athleticism. He's going to have the most balanced skill set in the entire class. What he doesn't have is the flashy one single attribute like speed, like Travis Etienne. He doesn't have the crazy 2,000 yards from scrimmage, three consecutive seasons probably for Jonathan Taylor. But I think he's still going to have that top 50 overall draft capital, and he's going to be an early first round pick. Almost lock it in. So for me, DeAndre Swift is pretty safe, but I have some questions just because I don't know just how athletic he is like I do some of the other top options. Would Swift have been your second pick here, Curtis?
Yeah, he would. He and Taylor are my top two. So chalk in my rankings so far.
Okay. Awesome. Well, interested to see who you take here at three.
Yeah, I'm gonna move off of the running back position. I'm gonna go over to the wide receiver position to a player having a remarkable season following up his stellar sophomore campaign. It's Jerry Jeudy, wide receiver out of Alabama. Just fell short of a true breakout in 2018. Was very close, had a 27% dominator rating, but he's former five-star recruit. Super young. He'll play his entire rookie season, assuming that he declares. His entire rookie season in the NFL will be played at age 21. Those of you who are religious listeners to the podcast know how passionate I am about those players that play their whole first season at age 21. One of the reasons that I love DJ Moore so much is because what he's able to do at that age. And, Jerry Jeudy will be in kind of that same cohort, which is pretty skinny cohort. Only about 30 some receivers with draft capital have really done that since the year 2000. So Jeudy this year, just kind of overview what he's done, just remarkably consistent. Something that we didn't see in every game last year in some of those conference games. He did have a few instances where, he fell short of, four receptions and 60 yards, but so far this season, no less than six receptions or 68 yards in any contest. Has scored touchdowns in three out of four games, six touchdowns overall. 30 receptions through four contests. Clearly one of the engines that's making the Alabama offense go. And obviously he's going to, be on every scout's film list because of everyone watching Tua at the quarterback position for that first overall, potential selection. So it's just one of those things where, you play on a team like Alabama, you're just going to be seen over and over and over and over again. And he has some great film. I can't wait until you chart him if he does declare and to see what some of your findings are. But Jerry Jeudy, my 103 in this Devy draft.
Nice. I think that's pretty chalk right there. Those top three are all probably top four or five options for most people at this point. In terms of Devy value and projecting, really even NFL real draft stock for those guys, just because I think Jerry Jeudy is going to be a top 10 NFL draft pick next year. I think most people already kind of want to lock that in. For me, I have to go with my namesake at the fourth pick, and that's Travis Etienne for Clemson. Obviously, he has the elite top-end speed, but this year he's doing more than just that. I've kind of already outlined him a couple times in a couple different places in my college football coverage over at RotoViz, but he's consistently finding positive yardage and being incredibly efficient and adding some key receptions this year. Coming into this year, he only had 17 total receptions in his first two seasons, 5 as a freshman, 12 last year. He's already got 8 through 4 games now. So on a much better pace to actually prove he can actually catch the ball. And he's actually taken it for some yak too, up to 11 yards per reception so far. And really so far, he's not had to do much on a consistent basis because Clemson just kills everyone. And he's actually only averaging about 15 touches per game. But and given that Clemson's schedule is so soft because the ACC is just basically 1.5 teams, I don't think we're going to get to see much of what his potential is against real NFL competition until we get closer to the end of this season. But I think just like he's proven in prime time before, he can dominate and he's faster than just about everybody on the field at any given time. So I have no worries besides the receiving aspect of his profile. And I mean, he's already expressed he's a little bit nervous when he catches the ball. But Travis Etienne is most definitely good enough to make the cut in this top elite tier of players for me. Is he kind of like right there in that tier one for you as well?
Well, he certainly gets a bonus for being available, presumably in 2020. And you can make good arguments. There's even a couple backs after Etienne that you can make good arguments for. And I don't know that there's necessarily a gulf, you know, between he and Taylor and Swift. I prefer Judy because of kind of him emerging as a volume receiver and a top-notch SEC offense. I mean, those guys just hit in the NFL, you know, pretty much automatically. And if Etienne were to, you know, if he could find his way to something like 30 receptions this year and truly answer that question in his profile, I think, you know, I'd feel a little bit better right now. But this is, you know, this 101 to 104 in next year's class. I mean, I feel like right now, super, super flat. You know, this early in the college football season, you know, before we actually have combine measurables, I'd be elated to get any of these four players.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. And speaking of players good enough to make the cut, and speaking of things that cut, Harry's Razors. I like that segue, by the way. Harry's Razors.
What would have been good if you didn't just like pat yourself on the back for it, like right after you did it?
You know, Curtis, I'm in the middle of a read. Can you let me get back to this? I do actually use Harry's Razors. They're fantastic. And if you visit their website, you can actually check out all the different shave sets and face care products that they have. And you join the 10 million who've already tried Harry's, and you can claim your special offer by going to harrys.com/bluewire. And why try Harry's, you might ask? Harry's founders were two regular guys tired of getting ripped off and paying for overpriced razors. And Harry's makes quality, durable blades at a fair price, just $2 per blade. And if you don't love your shave, you can let them know and they'll give you a full refund. And this summer, refresh your wallet and your face with a Harry's trial set. It comes with weighted ergonomic handle for an easy grip, a 5-blade razor with a lubricated strip, and trimmer blade for a close shave, rich lathering shave gel that will leave you smelling great, and a travel blade cover to keep your razor dry and easy on the go. Listeners can go to redeem their trial set at harrys.com/bluewire. That's harrys.com/bluewire. Make sure you go to, that's harrys.com/bluewire to redeem your offer and let them know I sent you to help support this show.
Okay, I think I'm back up at 105. This is a player that is probably the 101 in some Debbie ranking sets out there. Really, really happy to get him here. But again, this goes back to what I was saying at the top of the show. You know, a player that's not going to be available to 2021, you know, that matters at some point. But I'm going to go ahead and take one of those players, and it's Rondale Moore. Rondale Moore out of Purdue, following up his incredible, historically great freshman campaign with just more fire this year in 2019 through three contests, already sporting 369 yards on 27 receptions, even has some production in the kick return game, doing a nice job there as well. Had a kind of a tough matchup with TCU. They figured something out and were able to blank him there a little bit. But, I mean, he had 11 for 124 and a touch against Nevada in week one, then followed that up with 13 for 220 and a touch against Vanderbilt. So I'll be excited to see how he does against some of the stiffer competition in the Big Ten. Of course, you know, he just absolutely shocked Ohio State last year and their secondary. So, I mean, he has popped in some of these big games. This one little blip against TCU doesn't really bother me. You know, I think we'll continue to fill out that frame a little bit. Potential for him to grow as young as he is, but even already at 5'9 and 180, no concerns, even though he's a little slight, no actual concerns about his size. So Rondale Moore at the 105 for me.
Yeah, you would. That's all I got to say, man. It's just you would take Rondale Moore at 1.05. That's my alma mater. He's my one of my favorite players just ever in general in football of any kind. I mean, he squats 600 pounds. He's already, you know, had ridiculous yards from scrimmage numbers, and he was, you know, given the Paul Hornung Award for being the most versatile player in college football last season, indicative of a pretty safe future draft capital, and definitely a player that I'm excited about just for college football purposes. But even this past matchup against TCU, Purdue actually had their backup quarterback in because Elijah Sindelar had been hurt. And the backup quarterback for Purdue is apparently terrible because he completed about 45% of his passes, only completed 13 passes the whole game. 13 for 29 was that was his ugly stat line. So I think whenever Sindelar gets back in the lineup, whenever they have any type of consistent quarterback play again, he'll continue his tirade and destruction of college football as a whole. But at the sixth pick, I'm going to just mix it up here and go with a player that's been rising up my draft boards and should be rising up most people's draft boards at this point. And that's Chuba Hubbard. I'm just going to call him that because why not? Chuba Hubbard, because it's more fun to say it like that. For Oklahoma State, a ridiculous talent who's showcasing why he basically made J.D. King transfer to Georgia Southern in this offseason, and why he was keeping Justice Hill off the field at times, even when he was coming back from injury last year. Chuba Hubbard, he averaged 16 yards per carry in high school. I'll say that a little bit slower. 16 yards per carry in high school. And why? Because he's incredibly fast. Basically, track speed that is not on the Olympic level, but definitely impressive for high school. Definitely good enough to be a type of college track athlete as well. And I think that's showing up on the field every single sneaking week so far. But he's already got through four games, 642 rushing yards right now. That's just four games, mind you. And one thing, I haven't even gotten into the depth of charting running backs just yet, but one thing I'm noticing with Hubbard is he basically always gets back to the line of scrimmage. I'm guessing at this point it's probably about 95% given what I already looked at in the first couple matchups. He just always finds a way to create positive yardage for his team. And I think when you mix his speed with his ability to create positive yardage and good situations for his offense, there's going to be a team that invests on day two, if not late day one, in Hubbard when he does come out. So I know it's kind of quick to put him in the top half of the first round. You might not be there just yet, Curtis, but for me, I just have to, given the running back position and the premium there and what he's done this year and last.
Well, I'm not going to blame you for getting your guy after you miss Moore and try to get cute and let him slide to me. But, yeah, Hubbard, he's getting an insane rushing volume this year, you know, save for the team's game against McNeese State. He's had at least 26 carries in each of the other three contests. I'm a little disappointed not to see him getting the receiving work this year like he was last year, but it's a long season and that could come back. I don't know, maybe you've watched the depth there a little bit more. I know Oklahoma State kind of has a history of letting some of the rotational guys get some of that receiving work in complementary roles. So I'm not sure if that's why he's not getting the targets or if they're just not throwing the ball to the running back position this year. Do you know off the top of your head on that?
I was looking at, even in some college football DFS analysis, was looking at how sparingly they've used the running backs in the receiving game, just from an overall market share standpoint. Like, their raw numbers in receptions might be okay, but they throw the ball so much, they just don't go to the running back. It's like, unless they absolutely have to. So I think that will correct itself some moving forward this year. But so far, Sanders, the quarterback, would rather tuck and run rather than take that short dump off to the running back. So we'll see if that kind of corrects itself. But he's already proven that he can catch some passes last season. So I'm not really worried about that aspect of his profile as much.
Okay, fantastic. I'm going to go back to the wide receiver well again. I'm liking the value. We've talked a lot about in the 2020 draft that was a great draft to target for the running backs. But I think, you know, there's some wide receivers that are really attractive in this draft. And one guy that's moved up within a tier, I've had some reshuffling within that tier this year, is CeeDee Lamb. I'm going to take CeeDee Lamb here, wide receiver out of Oklahoma. You know, the Sooner wide receivers have had a nice bounce back in terms of their NFL success rate from that program. You know, once upon a time, you know, if you went to Oklahoma and you just, you know, the narrative kind of was, well, you don't face any defense, you know, at all in the Big 12. And we didn't see the success from those guys. But, you know, thanks to D.D. Westbrook and thanks to Marquise Brown and, you know, multiple quarterbacks also looking like they're going to have at least an average outcome for their draft capital in Baker Mayfield and Kyler Murray. There's been a lot of attention being paid to the Oklahoma offense. There's been more adoption of some of these air raid principles. And, you know, CeeDee Lamb, in comparison to those other two guys, you know, has a little bit more size than Marquise Brown and D.D. Westbrook. And maybe more of a, you know, it's a little cliche to say alpha wide receiver, because teams are getting more and more away from the true, you know, 160 target X these days because of, you know, that adoption of spread principles. But CeeDee Lamb certainly is a dominating presence out there on the field, and he's averaging well over, you know, 20 to 25 yards per reception this year, and really excited. And all eyes on that Oklahoma offense, all eyes on what the head coach is doing there. He's, you know, obviously gonna, every year going to be continued to be a NFL head coaching candidate. And, you know, I think CeeDee Lamb could certainly do some damage in the NFL as a rookie, just like some of his predecessors.
Yeah, I like that. They've already kind of found another option to go to. It feels like the Sooners just always kind of funnel their offense through a couple wide receivers. And this year they're funneling the other targets to a guy named Rambo. So that's kind of cool. I think he's actually going to be a decent playmaker one day as well. But I mean, if Rambo's on your team, you have to throw the ball to him some. I mean, you can't all throw everything to CeeDee Lamb. But yeah, I like the pick right there, and I think he's somebody that has shown to not only be just that alpha wide receiver, but be incredibly smart and just finding the spots in the zone, really calling out to the quarterback and signaling. I've seen just basically knowing, hey, before I even get to my stem, he's throwing his hand up because, you know, he's like, I know I'm open. You know, it's just like the smart little things I think Lamb does really well. So can't knock you for taking him at the 7 slot. For me, I'm going to go and stick with Laviska Shenault. And that's a little concerning to me right now, just because Shenault actually left the previous game with an unspecified injury. I don't know if it's actually come out that what exactly he hurt this past game, but health has actually been an issue for him so far in his career. But last season he averaged 125 yards from scrimmage per game and scored 11 touchdowns in nine games by itself. I mean, his pace was just absurd. I mean, he would have been all over the place statistically and would have probably won awards had he stayed healthy for the entire season. This year he's off to a little bit of a slower start, but the Colorado offense is as a whole. But he's already got 17 catches through four games, 226 receiving yards, a couple of touchdowns, and he's also getting some more carries. That they're still going with him on the ground some, just because he's just a big-bodied monster of a man at 6'2", 220. It really features almost like a feature back on top of being a dominant wide receiver. I want him to stay healthy. I want him to get healthy. I want to just see a full season of what he could be. But LaVisca at the eighth pick for me is a pretty good value. That seems like a no-brainer given where he was last year. But is he in that a kind of mid-top 10 at least for you right now still?
Yeah, he's in the tier I was referring to earlier along with one other wide receiver. And coming into the season, I would have had him above CeeDee Lamb. But Lamb's continued to answer some questions for me. And there is that little bit of fall off. So it's just a matter of preference within the tier. Could easily flip by the end of the year again.
Awesome. Well, great. Well, hey, Curtis, at the end of this week, I know I'm going to sit down. I'm going to take some time off and obviously watch some college football because that's what I love to do. But I'm also going to be watching some NFL. I mean, you got game-winning touchdowns on two-minute drives, running backs racing down the sidelines with no one to stop them. And there's nothing else like the NFL or college, and there's no better way to make the games even more exciting than to bet on them. So do the smart thing and go to mybookie.ag. And no one gives you more ways to win than they do. MyBookie's got the fastest payouts and better lines than any other sports book. And don't forget, where you're betting is just as important as who you're betting on. And MyBookie.ag is the best in the business. It's where I play. It's where some of the other Nashville sports guys here on the radio actually play. And it's where you should too. I mean, I wouldn't be telling you this to bet with them if they weren't the best. I mean, do the smart thing if you're going to bet, you know, this football season, bet with my bookie. If you're the kind of guy that likes to bet a little and win a lot, try a parlay. If all your picks come through, you'll multiply your winnings. And no matter how you bet, the NFL season is the best time of the year. College football too, obviously, since we're talking about a Debbie podcast. But join now and my bookie will double your first deposit. That is double your first deposit. Use the promo code BLUEWIRE to activate the offer. And that's promo code, again, BLUEWIRE. Visit mybookie.ag today where you can play and you win and you get paid.
All right. I think I'm back on the clock for what the 109 here. And this is a player who was much, much higher in my rankings. If we would have been doing this mock draft exercise, say, around this time in 2018. But in the 2018 season, you know, this guy had a bit of a disappointing fall off. Statistically, didn't look great. A lot of that blame goes to his offensive line and the system and just overall lack of performance by this team. But man, you want to talk about resurgence in the junior season for Cam Akers. Looking fantastic this year, man. Looking really fantastic. Very involved in the receiving game. At least a pair of receptions in every game, and at least three and three out of the four contests. Hit 100 yards rushing in three out of four contests. Has six rushing touchdowns. It's good to see him looking like the player we saw as a true freshman back in 2017. And it's a bit of a feel-good story. I was a little worried about his future in the NFL if we didn't see the bounce back. I mean, there's just too many times last year where there was no room and very little he could do. And we've seen players who, you know, were kind of self-starters and, you know, made their own space do okay in the NFL draft. You know, David Montgomery comes to mind. But, you know, that's David Montgomery outcome isn't what we were thinking for Cam Akers when he, you know, committed to FSU as a, you know, just one of the truly elite high school prospects in the 2017 recruiting class. So very impressed with what he's doing. I think he's certainly back on the radar as a day two prospect in the 2020 NFL draft. 109 Cam Akers, running back, Florida State.
Yeah, I think a lot of people really can't argue with that. There he's blue blood recruit. Plus athlete, and not ideal situation, but I think he's going to get some draft capital. So, you know, not a crazy pick. I think a lot of people would have gone a lot earlier still, just hoping that it is the FSU offense that's been the problem completely rather than him. But with the 10th pick, I'm actually going to go to a player that's not having a great year this year, but it's not at all his fault as well. Jalen Reagor for the TCU Horned Frogs has been an absolute monster, regardless of the quarterback play, for the majority of his career. But this year, obviously, the offense is a mess for TCU. They entered this offseason and really spent most of the summer juggling four or five quarterbacks. They had no idea who the starter was going to be really up leading up until really the first game. And they went with Max Duggan. He's been okay. Alex Delton has looked horrible in his limited action. But nobody can get him the ball, and it's just a shame because last season he absolutely just carried the offense again, had 72 catches for over 1,000 yards in his 13 games. And actually, I wrote this up a little bit earlier this summer, but he already has, as far as a dominator and adjusted yards per team pass attempt and touchdowns per team pass attempt, his overall adjusted production index score would put him around the 64th, 65th percentile among NFL prospects that typically get drafted. So if you look at a player in Jalen Reagor that probably runs a 4.4 or better, that type of speed, with somebody who has an adequate and really impressive production profile already, if he can put together any type of numbers this year, he's going to be somebody that's going to be drafted early, very, very early. And I'm going to be all over him. If he drops it all just because of a down year due to really just embarrassing, and that's not even really the word. There has to be a word worse than embarrassing, but embarrassing quarterback play by TCU. If his price is derailed at all, I'm going to be all over getting Reagor as much as I can. I don't know if you're right there with me, Curtis, but Reagor is somebody that I can't wait to see in the pros.
Yeah, Reagor was the third guy in that tier. He would have been my pick here. Really like him. He's kind of a Rotoviz favorite. I know Matt Wisby and Jordan Hoover also firmly on Reagor. So great pick there. I'm not too worried by this little dry spell that he's in. I think he'll find his way out. Okay, we've only got two picks left in this mock, and there's so many players that I could take here. You know, Tua's a temptation because of some of the just these rookie quarterbacks bursting onto the scene. I'm not going to go that direction. You know, Eno Benjamin is on the radar. Justin Ross has been a slow starter, and he's not available till 2021. Tyler Johnson with the late breakout. J.K. Dobbins looks resurgent. A lot of different players that maybe come to mind. I'm going to go a little bit further down my board, and yeah, that means I've made some changes in my rankings, but I'm gonna select Tylan Wallace here at 111. Just remarkably consistent this year. You know, last year showed us what, seven games with over 100 receiving yards in that Oklahoma State offense, including a pair of 220 yard games in a span of 3 weeks. You know, this year started red hot again, five receptions in all four contests. No less than 83 yards, hung 180 spot for three touchdowns and what, a quarter and a half or something against McNeese State. And looked, you know, as the competitions ramped up, he still looked, you know, plenty effective with a 583 line against Texas on the road just last week. So Tylan Wallace, the pick at 111.
Okay, I like it. I think, I mean, all he does is score huge touchdowns and average like 25 yards per reception on a really good offense. He'll definitely be in the conversation for the Biletnikoff Award, best wide receiver in college football again this season. So really can't go wrong with him. Somebody that is definitely in that top tier for me, and I think most for sure. That leaves me in a tough spot here, though, for the last pick in this draft. There's a few directions I could go. I could get, you know, Justin Ross, like you mentioned, because he kind of exploded with 1,000 yards. His teammate in T. Higgins has looked like the real deal, and it looks like he's kind of fixing his market share in final season breakout numbers this year. But I'm actually going to pivot and go to Tyler Johnson, who, just from the numbers standpoint, I mean, his breakout, what he did even back in 2017, it's just been incredible. His market share numbers are bonkers. Even sharing the field now with a really good wide receiver in Rashad Bateman, he's still finding a way to dominate. Had a three touchdown performance here recently, and is just playing for Minnesota has got to be frustrating because they can't really maintain much of an offense. Not a high volume passing offense, and they rely on the ground game, and it's not even really that good or efficient. So it doesn't give him a ton of just raw volume of opportunity. But he profiles as basically a 98th percentile producer for NFL prospect standards. And that's if he just quit playing right now and waited till the NFL draft. Like, he's just, his numbers are absolutely insane. So unless he just scares us with a horrible NFL combine or something comes up in between now and then, there's absolutely no way he isn't a day two selection. And I'm okay betting on that, given what we know of his production and his ability to just move the chains and be a big time playmaker in the red zone as well. Actually, had 12 touchdowns last year on his 78 catches. So I really like Tyler Johnson. What about you?
Yeah, I like Tyler Johnson. I struggle with him. He, like, for some reason, he just seems like plain vanilla ice cream to me. And I think it's because he's going to be an old player in the draft. But it's not his fault. Well, I mean, it is his fault he's playing in Minnesota. I mean, he either could have been a, you know, maybe a little bit more of a blue chipper, or just chosen a more attractive place where he could have played, you know, in a more attractive offense with a more attractive quarterback. But yeah, I mean, Tyler Johnson, certainly, I think he's firmly on the radar of NFL scouts. He's got good size, you know, as good a size and thickness as any of the receivers we've talked about today, over 6'2", could be as heavy as 210, I think, on that frame. So yeah. And I mean, Big Ten receivers a little bit hit and miss in recent years, but he's shown well in some of the bigger spots. And at this point in his career, he's, you know, either scored a touchdown or hung triple digit receiving yards on I think every team in the Big Ten, including the Buckeyes and actually Penn State's about the only school doesn't have a solid track record against at this point. So maybe he can correct that this year if they're on the schedule. But yeah, I like it. I think he was going to be on the radar really for any of the next handful of picks, and not surprised at all that you call his name at 112.
Awesome. Well, that's all the time we have for this episode. I hope you all enjoyed learning about some of the top college playmakers if you weren't already on the loop on some of these guys. But that's what the top 12 looks like according to Curtis and Travis. You can find us on Twitter at CPatrickNFL. That's Curtis, surprise, and I'm FF_TravisM on Twitter, and just to tell us how wrong we were on this mock if you'd like to. But come join us in our premium Slack via the Dynasty Command Center Slack. It's just a great community of awesome people. I just can't wait to see you there, or on Twitter, or wherever else you want to find us. If you want to come to Nashville and hang out with me, that's fine too. But until next time, until I see you on Twitter or in Nashville or wherever else, keep living that Dynasty life.
Sugar Ray Leonard, Roberto Duran, Marvelous Marvin Hagler, and Thomas Hearns. Legends, whose four-way rivalry defined one of the greatest eras in boxing history. Relive their decade of dominance in the new Showtime sports documentary, The Kings, a four-part series premiering Sunday, June 6th, only on Showtime.
The headlines remind us daily, the world is a dangerous place. The elites in charge say everything's fine, stop noticing, but you know better. And your gut knows that time is short to prepare for a world that is four missed meals away from chaos. My Patriot Supply has helped over 3 million families become more self-reliant and is the company Americans trust to prepare. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and secure their best-selling 3-month emergency food kits. Each contain delicious breakfasts, lunches, and dinners, averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Secure at least one food kit for each family member. For a limited time, save $200, plus get free shipping on all their Ready Hour 3-month emergency food kits. You're not ready if it's not Ready Hour foods. My Patriot Supply also has solar power generators, water filtration units, biomass stoves, heirloom seeds, and critical survival gear. Shop MyPatriotSupply.com today. MyPatriotSupply.com.